the challenge on something like Meta versus something like TV is that the expected attention span on Meta or TikTok or Instagram is so much shorter than what it is on TV. You're watching a TV show for a long period of time. You're consuming the same content for that long period of time. And commercials come on, you're used to them being longer and digesting that content. There's more opportunity to be more memorable so that maybe 6 months from now, you have a problem that you need to solve. You think about that commercial that you saw that was funny or something like that. With Meta, TikTok, Snapchat, because of the attention span being so short and the length of the content being so short, it doesn't stick for quite as long. We're setting up lift tests internally to see if we can generate some of that same longer term brand recognition with a few of our clients.
If you haven't yet used Motion, the creative analytics platform used by top e-com and D2C brands like Fiori, True Classic, The Farmer's Dog, Hexclad, and hundreds more to ship winning ads, here's why you should try it out. Everyone knows that the right creative is the number one lever for success with paid ads. That's how you make money. But consistently shipping new winning creative? You're going to need your media buyers and your creative teams on the same page. Right now, you're probably spending hours tiring away going back and forth between Google Sheets and your ad platforms and tools, and then spending even more time plugging it all into different decks for the rest of your team. In a perfect world, you could have an elegant way to combine visual assets and performance data so media buyers can save time and creative teams can get the details they need to make great ads all in one place. And that's where Motion comes in. In seconds, you can build powerful visual reports using data from your ad accounts. You can monitor your performance metrics and see your visual assets in the same platform. No need to go back and forth across multiple apps. You'll finally have media buyers and creative teams working together to create and scale your next big winner. If you're ready to learn how the best D2C and e-commerce brands use Motion to ship winning Meta, TikTok, and YouTube ads, book a demo today or start a free trial at motionapp.com/DTC. Even better, Motion offers a monthly subscription plan so you can dodge those annoying annual contracts. Get 50% off your first month when you use the link motionapp.com/DTC on signup.
It's All Killer, No Filler, the D2C podcast. I'm Eric, and I'm here with Nate, Taylor, and Jacob, our leads over on the socials team at Pilot House. Welcome to the program today, guys. I understand we're going to do a little roundtable on Meta. What does the world look like for Meta ads in February 2024, Nate?
Yeah, it's been an interesting one. I think really high level standard to every year. We saw a pretty big bump around Valentine's Day. Gifting focused brands, especially for significant others, did really well. And there was a really solid push, just kind of followed the trend over the last few years. I do think there's been a little bit more of a steeper fall off from the sale. And I think it kind of points to people still, you know, they've got that purchase intent, but they're waiting for the right time to buy. And so a lot of people might have waited through January and early Feb for those Valentine sales to come live, and then did their purchasing, and now they're, you know, getting past that period. And so it slowed down a little bit towards the end of Feb here. But overall, when, you know, looking at all the accounts we have access to, spend is relatively even year over year. Some cases, obviously, it's up quite a bit. Some brands have pulled back slightly. CPMs are relatively even. They're up a percent or two. And then cost per click is a little bit more expensive. But what we have noticed is that conversion rates are actually up year over year relative. And
that's good news.
Yeah. And one other piece is that it seems, you know, like I said, spend isn't actually up. Usually we would see with, you know, a bunch of brands that we have had access to or have visibility into for a couple of years, we would see that consistent year over year growth, not only in revenue, but in spend as well, as they continue to grow the brands. And this year spend is relatively stable compared to last year. And I think a lot of brands are focusing a little bit more on efficiency because they are seeing that kind of delayed intent, people waiting for the opportune time to purchase. So they've put a focus into things like AOV, returning customers, things like that. And so we're seeing a pretty big increase in AOV year over year on platform. Overall, I would say following similar trends to the past couple of years, maybe a little bit softer in buying intent kind of post Valentine's Day, but overall still been pretty solid.
Taylor, that AOV number is nuts. Up 75% AOV year over year. Is that just because we've had these clients longer? We're sort of putting more effort into that upsell process?
Yeah, I definitely think that's a big part of it. I know from various conversations I've been involved in so far this year, been identifying a lot of offer testing opportunities, whether that be bumps in the cart, playing around with different ways to position different products, or even focusing on different products. So generally, from what we've seen, there has been a receptiveness to different ways of going about that, whether that be trying discounting strategies on higher ticket items within the product line, or various things like that. So at a time like this, or a time where you're prioritizing kind of any stage of growth, offer testing is always a key pillar. So highlights a potential opportunity for more brands out there too.
Yeah, I think part of why we're seeing such a big increase in AOV and the brands we have visibility into too, is I think there was a handful of brands that did product launches right around Valentine's Day and kind of used the momentum of Valentine's Day to launch some products that had slightly higher AOVs. So probably skewed a little bit, but leveraged that good high intent time to launch new products, and that did pretty well.
Taylor, I don't know if you have data to back this up, but you were saying you felt there was a bit of a waning in some of the more intent-based things. It looks like more that fits well with this TikTok, very analytical TikTok I saw the other day, where this comedian was essentially saying that the economy is currently running on treats. It's currently running on everyone just being like, oh, fuck it, I'll buy myself that expensive so-and-so. And that's not necessarily a good long-term position, but I don't know. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, I don't have hard data to back it up right now. A lot of it's like the sixth sense as I'm evaluating every channel for the brands we're working with and looking at different things and just getting that sense that there might be a little bit more action required than from disruptive ads on paid social or things like that versus other periods. But it's a really interesting thought piece for sure.
Yeah, the other side that's kind of interesting and ties in is like the overall economy and, you know, the index is all improving again, like people may be feeling a bit more comfortable there, and that could be playing into the treat yourself, the higher AOVs that we're seeing. And yeah, like the other guys said, you know, it's like the cost of traffic has gone up slightly, but AOV and conversion rate is still there. The intent's still there, which has really forced brands to get more creative with their funnels, their offers. It's not like, you know, to hit the same amount of people this year versus last year, it is costing them more.
And have we really started to, I know we're really big on Advantage Plus and all the different sort of AI suite of tools that Meta has to offer, but are we seeing a boost yet from those tools, would you say, Jacob?
I mean, it's give or take, like some tools for sure. And even across different brands, like some are working, some are not, between the Advantage Plus, all these dynamic ad stuff, Facebook, Instagram shop. They even have things now, AI tools that'll just generate backgrounds on your images. So if you're a brand with limited imagery, you can upload these ads, get backgrounds generated right in Meta. You know, they're starting to like dip into those things, but I wouldn't say it's 100%, there yet in terms of like, let change over your whole strategy into this. But dipping your toes in, testing a little bit here and there is definitely worth it. And we're finding some big wins for sure. Few of our brands are doing 75% plus of their sales now through the Facebook shop, not even Shopify. And partly, again, every product's different. Some of it's not going to work on shop. If you're in Canada, it won't work on shop. But, this specific product in that $50 to $75 range, Meta's just sending people to the shop instead of the website because that's where they're converting. So things like that are emerging. And yeah, again, it's not like it's working 100% of the time, but you got to test it.
What do you guys see in Nate and Taylor on the AI tool front?
Similar to Jacob, account to account or brand to brand or even product to product and creative to creative, differences depending on the tool. So the growth of Advantage Plus shopping campaigns over the last year and a half has been pretty massive on Meta as a whole. And it's opened up, I think, different strategies that we're leveraging. But at the same time, it's still case by case from what I see. There really isn't a silver bullet around a bid strategy, a structure, a specific structure strategy. Obviously, there's best practices to follow and ways to align and aligning to the Facebook Power 5 best practice. But with that said, I think it's opened the door for some cool things. So I think there's different nuances, like when you're looking at some of the features sometimes are a bit of a miss. Like I always caution people when they're looking at whether social proof is important in terms of how it correlates to to some of those end leading indicators on performance, like ROAS, CPA, NCAC, all that kind of stuff. If it is important, you know, there's nuance in like using the feature that Meta dropped a while back where you can check off retaining comments, post shares and reacts. And if you start moving that around to different audiences or different campaigns as you're rebuilding things or adjusting things, it does drop off certain social proof and pick it up in certain places versus just going back to the classic post ID. There's also a nuance. If you edit the ad, you can end up losing it. But on the flip side, with some of the stuff like Advantage Shopping, where it's working for brands, there's often, if you're monitoring all the details in your frequency or you use third-party attribution to get a sense of what the new visit ratio is, you can really accelerate your creative testing and speed up the whole learning process by using it, from what we've found. So it's all nuanced, as it always is, but lots of benefits and everything just taken with a grain of salt as we go.
Jacob, I wanted to ask you just about the Facebook Shop, because I talked a couple weeks ago with Spencer on the TikTok side of shops, and he was mentioning that they also unveiled their creator affiliate program, essentially. So it's like super easy on the platform. Even if you're a brand that doesn't maybe want to have a bunch of your own, you know, TikTok content, you can put your product on the shop and have other creatives easily sell it as affiliates. Does Facebook Shop have the same functionality?
Yeah, they are working on something very similar. I'm not quite sure, you know, timelines on it. I believe it's called the Facebook Creator Library. I'd have to confirm that, but very similar, where you essentially put your product out there. You hook up with these creators in the library, work on briefs, etc. It's not necessarily tied into the shop, though, like it is on TikTok, at least at the moment. But yeah, in terms of that, it's definitely coming. Like, you can tell that all these platforms are trying to keep purchases on their platform. That's why Meta's doing it. That's why TikTok's doing it. There's downsides, right? Like, you're not getting traffic to your website, which means you're potentially losing out on email grabs, whatever else it might be. But you can technically retarget these people using their like engagement, all this stuff. So It's kind of an interesting one, and it's like you want to test it, but you do want to be aware that like if your site's losing traffic, you're losing, you know, priority in the search engine results. So yeah, it's kind of a balance, and same with TikTok. And the reason they want to keep you on their platform is they want that purchase data, right?
In the case where it's working well that you mentioned, where it's making up 75% of one of the client's spends, what do you think it is about their brand that's making it such a fit for Facebook Shops?
Yeah, I'd say it's a couple things. It has to be a somewhat wide appealing product, I would say. People that are just organically hitting your shop, you know, if it is something that interests them, that's great. Most of the traffic to your shop is going to come from your ads. If you have a very specific niche product and you only have one or two of them, the shop's not really going to, you know, be worth it. If you have multiple products that sort of fall in that like 25 to 100 range, the shop is like perfect. At the moment, it seems like that's kind of the magical like area where people are purchasing through the shop. It's, you know, quick enough. It's easy enough. You're not spending $200 through Facebook, which maybe is a little untrustworthy. Maybe that's why people are reluctant. And then the other side of it is like US only, I believe right now they're expanding it out to some other countries, but yeah. And then the other side, is Shopify clients. It's easiest. It's all auto integrated. If you're not Shopify, it can be a little more nuanced to set up.
Just a more friction-free environment too, right? So I bet the conversion rate in that case just makes it so that's where it just makes sense to send it.
Yeah, 100%. And the rev still passes into Shopify. Like, you're still seeing, you know, the sales come through and everything. It just attributes it to Meta. Yeah, something to test and keep an eye on, because I'm assuming they're going to start pushing to it more.
I've got a note here about getting access to credits has been harder. Who can speak just a little bit to like what the credits ecosystem is in the Facebook ads environment?
Yeah, I had some conversations with our rep about this the other day. Actually, I think they're just spending a little bit less or giving out a little bit less in total. There are still some coupons that are available. You can get testing for full funnel conversion event testing. So if you want to test what happens if you spend $20,000 at top of funnel using a reach campaign, there's some budget that can go behind that from the Meta side. The budgets for those credits are also a little bit smaller. I think they're doing like 1/3 funded right now. So you get 33% of the money back on those tests. And there's some minimum spend threshold. So I think a lot of the minimums for a lot of those tests are around 15 grand. So you got to spend 15 grand, get 5 grand back. Yeah, I mean, definitely a little bit tighter on the credit front. You know, in 2019, 2020, even 2021, it was a little bit easier to get some credits, and there was more given out to tests that agencies wanted to build. So we could actually, you know, put together something that we wanted to test, and oftentimes we could get some backing for it from the Meta side. Now it's more focused on, you know, Meta built tests that, you know, they've got a select few that they can give ad credits for. And outside of that, it's pretty tough to get anything right now.
Are they I just saw a tweet the other day. They're really pushing Lyft tests, or are you being like brand recall tests? Like, what are the tests that you're aware of that they're more interested in?
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant with, you know, spending on a reach campaign. So yeah, spending on a reach campaign, seeing the brand recall down the line, seeing if there's any lift to your lower funnel conversion campaign. So if you spend on a reach campaign for a month and you spend 15 grand on it, what happens to your middle and bottom funnel campaigns down the line?
It's super neat. I've been a theme on the podcast recently after talking with someone talking about true top of funnel ads and how, you know, can you get true top of funnel advertising on these direct marketing platforms? Like, you can, because you're introducing new people to your brand, but can it function in the same way as, you know, more true top of funnel efforts like out of home or TV or PR, even these things where you just end up with the brand's name on your lips in sort of like in a more organic way. So it's probably worth testing.
Yeah, I think there's a place for it for sure. I think the challenge on something like Meta versus comparing it to something like TV is that the expected attention span on something like Meta or TikTok or Instagram is so much shorter than what it is on TV. Like you're watching a TV show for a long period of time. You're consuming the same content for that long period of time, and then commercials come on. You're used to them being longer and digesting that content. And I think there's more opportunity to be more memorable, so that, you know, maybe 6 months from now, when you have a problem that you need to solve, you think about that commercial that you saw that was funny or something like that. I think with Meta, TikTok, Snapchat, because of the attention span being so short and the length of the content being so short, it doesn't stick for quite as long, I feel like. And that's not to say it doesn't work the same. It can, for sure. And there's definitely the ability to create content that sticks and lasts for a long time. But yeah, it's an interesting topic. It's something that we're testing a lot in 2024 as well. We're setting up some of our own kind of lift tests internally to see if we can generate some of that same kind of buzz and longer term brand recognition with a few of our clients.
It's interesting. It just makes perfect sense that, you know, on these platforms, it's hard to get those higher level indelible brand impressions because the attention span is so short. You've got to get them through three layers to the website to buy, or you may not see them again, right? So you're going to have to sacrifice some of the brand strategy in that hustle.
It's also the frequency. Like, people now are seeing 1,000 quarter second ads a day. And like, even if you are remembered, it's only going to be for like a few hours until they're on to the next, you know, unless you have something that's viral and they keep seeing it or whatever. And versus, again, like TV, you're seeing 5 commercials, 30 seconds each. You're forced to watch them all or ignore them. You know, on Meta, you're just, blah, 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 you know, passing through them. And yeah, it's hard to make that lasting impression. And then you got to keep doing it.
Totally. The only other thing I wanted to mention was just that with Zuckerberg last week coming out and giving that impassioned speech for his new headset or his existing headset against the Apple Vision Pros, I saw a really great comment that it's like any brand owner there out there who's like, oh, I don't really have time to make UGC for my brand to try to help my ad team. Like, your excuse kind of went right out the window there when Zuck himself is willing to like go to bat for his headset in a video. So
yeah, that was definitely interesting. Coincided nicely with the burst spends that we were seeing on Meta last week.
Yeah, real quickly, what was that? That was just one of those ghosts in the machine that happens occasionally.
Yeah, last week there was just we had a couple, not a couple. There was a it was basically across the board. We saw CPM spike for a couple of days pretty aggressively, and some burst spending happening too. But yeah, nothing that's not relatively normal on Meta.
And what do you do in those situations? I guess we're at the position now where we obviously have a rep. Is it a message to the rep and you sort of trust that they're going to make good, or do we swallow it? What's our reaction?
Nowadays, the majority of the time, the refunds happen automatically, and it usually isn't the full amount that you get back. So if there's a burst spend and you spent $2,000 over what you were expected to spend that day, usually you're not going to get near that $2,000 back because of the disclaimer that Meta has, where they can spend on any given day more than the budget, but over a long period of time, it's going to average out at that. So it's pretty easy for them to pawn it off as it being related to that. But usually the refunds happen automatically, and you'll see them, you know, a couple weeks later or whatever it is. Sometimes if there is something drastically wrong, you can get refunds by going through a rep, but that's not as common. It used to be a lot more common when there was an issue. You could kind of push to get some sort of money back from that, but it's not as common anymore.
There used to be that secret link you can find that was like live chat. Do they still have that live chat for like...
They do, but...
people that don't have reps?
Yeah, that does still exist. And it's still nice. It's hard to get to get into and find.
All right. Thanks, guys. Let's keep in touch about some of these developments here. And Mark Zuckerberg, if you're listening, you got to come on the D2C podcast too. We can talk about Quest. We talk about your ads, talk about your compound in Hawaii, whatever you like. You heard it here first. Mark Zuckerberg's coming on 2024. Let's do it.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you're not getting the D2C newsletter, you can subscribe for free at directtoconsumer.co. And if you want to learn more about Pilot House's all-killer, no-filler services, take off to pilothouse.co. I'm Eric Dick, and this has been the D2C Podcast. We'll see you next time.